chapters in the Vedic literature, you know, this whole thing, you will see that it's very beautifully. It's about meditation, meditation and Om. So we are talking about this. It is chapter 2, section 2, verse 2. Last time yesterday we talked about it. Luminous, subtler than even atoms, that imperishable Brahman is the abode of the world and all its inhabitants. He is life, speech, mind, reality, immortality. That is the mark which should be penetrated by the mind. Penetrate it, O my friend. That is the mark. That is the focus. Often, in our discussion about meditation, this topic comes. What should we do? We sit is all right. Close your eyes is all right. Then what? Then what? What should we be doing? This is what we should be doing. It will come today. Today the answer is there here today. This morning we will give you the answer. That is the mark which should be penetrated by the mind. That is focus. Focus on, concentrate or focus on this, on Brahman. Luminous, subtler than even atoms, that imperishable Brahman. That is the subject matter of this Upanishad. That paravidya, that higher knowledge which removes all ignorance, cuts all bondages, and will make you free. It is that supreme knowledge. It is that, so that Brahman, focus on Brahman. Brahman is the abode of the world and all its inhabitants. He is life, speech, mind, reality, immortality. That is the mark which should be hit. Penetrated by the mind. Penetrate it, O my friend. So this is the language we see in when some important thing has to be told. Say, my dear, my friend. The teacher becomes soft and then so endearing, such a favorite subject, you know. Favorite subject, telling his beloved student. So the whole thing, the mood changes. Penetrate it, my friend, Soumya. And then how do you penetrate? It's a dynamic process. Meditation is a very dynamic operation of the mind. It is not even sattva, it is super sattva. Fine activity, very sophisticated activity of the mind, that is meditation. It is not doing nothing, you know. What are you doing? Meditation means doing nothing, simply keep quiet. It is not that, it's a very, very dynamic. Swamiji gives in some place this example. I don't know whether I have not seen. Maybe there are children playing with this top. That's top spinning. There it is very common in India, especially villages and towns and all that. It's there. What is it called? Top. In Kannada we call buguri.
Buguri.
We have small thread is there. Yeah. That and then we'll go. Yes. Turn and around it and then the opposite party is there, they hit the other one. Like that, all sorts of things. All sorts of games. So when it is spinning, especially on a cement floor or something like that, when it is spinning, you don't see it is spinning. It looks as though it is stationary there, as though you are fixed it like that. No, It is a tremendous speed it is spinning like that. So, mind is like that in meditation. It seems to be just doing nothing, but the intense activity is there in that. More than ordinary, the rajasic activity, we notice it is not noticeable. I go up, jump up and down and do all that talk and that is noticeable. Oh, he's active person, activity. But this activity is a very, very silent. Silent but intense. A person who is meditating is like a bomb in good sense. Tremendous power is there in that. Tremendous power. It's tremendous activity going on. It's a very, very fine vibrations. Very fine vibrations. It's vibrating like that. So that whole operation is a very dynamic operation. That's why he gives the analogy of archery. In archery, you aim at this, taking as bow the mighty weapon furnished by the Upanishads, fix on it the arrow ended sharp by constant meditation, and having drawn it with the mind absorbed in his thought, penetrate that mark, the imperishable Brahman. Penetrate. Hit it. How? Oh, the bow, which is the bow? All right, let us take two together, next, third and fourth. Pranamo dhanuhu sharo hyatma brahmatal lakshamuchyate apramatena vedhavyam sharavat tanmayo bhavet. It is better whoever wants to know exactly the same words to memorize this verse. Pranamo dhanuhu sharo hyatma brahmatal lakshamuchyate apramatena vedhavyam sharavat tanmayo bhavet. What is this bow? Om. Om is the bow. See, Om is all over in Vedantic literature. All over, everywhere. In mystical literature, philosophical literature, even other, or epics and poetry, everywhere we find this, Om. Om, the mystic syllable, is the bow. The self within is the arrow. Swamiji translated it as human mind. Human mind, that is the arrow. And Brahman, the target. There is a target. Lakshya, there is a target. There is a focal point there for this meditation. Brahman is the focal point. One should hit that mark with an undistracted mind, like the arrow become one with it. So in our meditation, you can visualize all these different pictures, you know. There is the bow. That is the mantra, Om. And then the mind is there. Mind is the arrow. It is simple. The target, lakshya, the target is Brahman. Yesterday we were talking about that. A generalized way of say my God is this, my God is that. I want to meditate this way. I want to meditate that way. My aim of the focal point is this or that. Putting all together, generalization is our Ishta Devata, chosen ideal. It may be personal or it may be impersonal, a concept it may be. One may be meditating in the Atman. Atman or the Self or a personal God or personal impersonal, we were talking about that too yesterday. So whatever may be our chosen idea of God, chosen ideal, Ishta Devata, that is your lakshya. Or, and then think about it. What should we do? What should we do in our meditation? There is always a theme for meditation. A theme, like a thesis for your PhD, like a theme for meditation. You take up one and then with that aspect of Brahman or focus, the lakshya or your chosen ideal, you think about it. Use your mind. That's a human mind. The arrow, let the arrow go and then hit it. Not only hit it, hit that mark with an undistracted mind, like the arrow, become one with it. Become one with it. Become completely be absorbed in it. Become one with it. We are familiar with such things, you know, how we are one with certain things. You are reading a book, very interesting book. You are one with it. Listening to a very, very sweet music, you are one with it. Watching, say, a landscape, the beauty of the landscape, you are one with that. You are familiar with that. Or even the sensuous things, like when you are eating something, you are one with it. One with it, completely absorbed in that. So, that capacity we have, that is what we call ordinarily concentration. We can concentrate on things, but the question comes, on what should we concentrate? What should be the focal point? That is where the difficulty is. Difficulty comes. Sometimes we say, why not shift it? I can concentrate on very good music or a very good book. Why cannot, can I not fix it on, why not on God? That is the problem. That is the difficulty there. That shifting from one place to another place is shifting of our focal point, shifting of concentration. That is the difficult part. That is where we need lot of education, self-education, and practice. Practice is, because it comes down. That's why I want to fix my mind on God, on Brahman. I want to hit that mark. But suddenly, it goes to somewhere else, which I am very much interested, I'm attached to. That is where dispassion becomes necessary. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks a question, my mind is restless, what can I do? Can be done abhyasa and vairagya, dispassion. That means you should be able to take from this to that. It is stuck here, somewhere. I was reading a book, maybe a very good book, Shakespeare I am reading, I am stuck there. Next I sit for meditation. To shift from there to here, that is a different point, difficult point, difficult part of it. I should be able to detach from myself from that and then attach to this. That process is our difficult part of us, because that holds you like that, you know. These external things catch us. And then we stick there. We stick there. So the practice is all the time trying to practice detachment and practice concentration. I detach from here, attach there. So that is why when you say when you meditate half an hour, all the 23.5 hours other time are preparations. We are preparing all the time. So spiritual life is like that. All the time preparation only. That's why a spiritual seeker is always a spiritual seeker. It is not just one half an hour or 1 hour, one day, 2 days. It is not like that all the time. When I am traveling or I am sitting or I am going there, I am eating, all the time I am a spiritual seeker. So I am all the time meditate, preparing for meditation. One side concentration, another side, one side detachment, concentration. That is how our karma yoga is a great help for meditation. There we are getting the training. We are exercising our detachment. Karma yoga means I detach, I offer it to God. So that practice is going on all the time. If it goes on all the time properly, that will help you in your meditation. And then meditation will help our karma yogi. Meditation, that is what I am doing. I detach myself from everything and then focus on God, focus on Brahman. So each helps the other. So one should hit that mark with an undistracted mind like the arrow and become one with it. Our teachers, meditators say that is really meditation. Being one with that. And other expressions are used. Feel that you are drowned in that. Drowned in God consciousness. Drowned or becoming one with it. Complete absorption there. You are there. There's no difference. You have become one with it. Just as the arrow becomes one with the target. But as we are practicing, what happens, it doesn't go to the target straight. There are some, that is the best. The second best, third best, fourth best are given to us. Now, if there is a target, you know, and they're practicing this archery or shooting, there is something like a board. And then there is a point there. And then you should hit the point. That is really the target. Otherwise, at least you hit the board. Hit the board. That is our reflection. Another imagery is the bee sucking honey. The bee comes and then it goes near the flower. It goes on buzzing round the flower, going on buzzing like that. That is our reflection. Thoughts are there about God, about Brahman. We are not able to hit it, so you are hitting the ball. Go move around there. All thoughts, all feelings, all imaginations about our chosen ideal, you go on thinking about it. At least be around the flower. So next is you sit on the flower. Like that. Where is that? Then afterwards, you have to, what is that called? Proboscis? The bee has got, or? What do you call? Proboscis. So you do that, it will stretch that and then touch honey inside. The nectar is there in the flower. If it starts tasting, sipping that nectar, that is meditation. That is what in our bhakti literature and all called touching God. God contact. Touch of the soul, God contact. So just do that. And remaining there, sucking that nectar. That is really the meditation. That is really when that meditation comes, there cannot be any boredom. Oh, I'm tired of meditation. I'm bored of meditation. That can never come. Because there's a constant source of ananda. Ananda or love of God has come. So sometimes they touch and go. A little small something comes and then again the mind is scattered, mind goes here and there. All such things happen, we all those who have been trying to practice meditation know that, you know. Some one fine morning, just for 2 seconds, you touch that. Oh, how nice, I felt fine and all that. And then again the old habits come and then everything is gone. And you know, if it happens even once in a while, even that sustains us a lot. What sustains in spiritual life, it is that sustains once in a while. But if it happens often, that is great. We say it is grace of God. When it happens like that, I get our term is joy. We get joy out of it, or peace, or feeling the love, peace, joy. So these are the terms we use for God consciousness. So arrow, one should hit the mark. So let us keep this imagery clear in our mind. Om is the bow, and the self within, self, myself, the little self, or Swamiji's language, our mind. With the help of the mind, we are doing all this, our mind. We'll use Swamiji's word, human mind, and the target is there. The bow and the arrow he has left after mentioning that the Upanishads. And further he goes about the target. Because target is the thing that is unclear to us, you know. It is unclear. To make it as clear as possible. In Vedanta, lot of effort is taken to make this unclear clear. For spiritual seekers, the advice is this, make that clear. Through study, through visualization, through thought, through philosophy, or experience of the great ones, all these, taking the help of all these, make this clear, the target. What am I doing? What is my aim? That spiritual ideal, the spiritual ideal, clear. This is, I am for this. That is a great help. Otherwise we are shaky. I don't know what I am doing. That question, I don't know what I am doing. Oh, tradition. My family was doing. They all go to church. I also go to church. Some kind of vague way, even well-meaning people, very, very vague. Why should you keep it like that? Our mind is there. Use the mind and then make it very, very clear. The spiritual ideal should be clear. Here the target. Target should be clear. I am going to hit that. Like hunters go, you go, no? And they go there, I am going to hit that. That animal or that bird, I'm going to hit that. So that is the imagery given to us. Let it be clear. Let it be sure, you are sure what you are at, without any wavering, without any doubt, go about like that. And make the mind upasa nishitam, making it sharp. Sharp through meditation, through upasana. Upasana, all these practices, you know. Practices like worship and then prayer and then all these things. Make it sharp. Upasa nishitam. Taking as bow the mighty weapon for nirupani, fix it on the arrow. Rendered sharp by constant meditation. Constant practice. Make it sharp. Don't leave it hazy or vague. No. So this, here, if you make this firm, a other things will become easier, you know. Otherwise, the very basis will be unclear, shaky. So all the house we build on that will be shaky. So we are asked to make it clear. Of course, there are some fortunate souls in this. They have faith, and then their idea about God, no doubt about it. God means God, I know what it is. Through faith, they got it. How they got, we don't know. They have got it. They're very clear about it. Very clear. Through faith, some people get. But the modern mind, the ordinary mind, is not like that. We are exposed to so many things. Mind is so scattered. So we need some processes, techniques and processes. All this become more and more necessary now. That's along with that, if there is faith, and Sri Ramakrishna says more than I once thing in the Gita, in the Gospel, a lover of God gets through his love of God. If he has love of God, faith in God, all these become very easy. All these become very easy. So we add that too along with this. Tad japas tad artha bhavanam. And repeat the name, know the meaning of it. So this imagery, let us remember. Apramattena vedhavyam. Undistracted my mind. Apramatta means without any carelessness or inadvertence. Pramada, pramada, apramada, apramatta are all same. Pramada, pramada is, it is like this, you know. I step on your toe. I should not have done it. Inadvertently doing that. Don't give room to such things. Because after you are already stepped on the toe, then you say, I am sorry, it doesn't help. I am suffering, the other person is helping, it's a suffering. Probably the other person had some wound on its toe, and then you have already stepped. Socially, you may feel a little satisfied. Say, I'm sorry, I regret. But actually happened. So don't give room to that. Pramado vai mrutyuhu. Sanasujatiya and Vivek Chudamani says, that kind of pramada may be causing death. You may die. Oh, inadvertently I hit the other car. And the car fell down somewhere. You are feeling sorry and nothing will not help at all there. So, that is death. Don't give room to that. Be alert. Lord Buddha says in his last message, how do you get nirvana? Apramattena. Through avoiding this kind of accidents. That means, be alert. Be alert, vigilant, be vigilant. So with vigilance, you should be vigilant. In military they have attention to the word, attention. Attention, savdhan, savdhan. That means alert. An important thing you are doing, be alert. Don't sleep. Be alert. So one should hit that mark with an undistracted mind, like the arrow become one with it. So hit like that. So in meditation, these are all the steps. First, have the bow, and then this undistracted mind, you hit it. Focus on that. And then further he goes on. What is the target? He in whom the heaven, the earth and the interspace are centered together with the mind and all life breaths. Realize him alone, know him alone as the one self of all. You will see that is the self. One self of all. Not yourself, myself, and one self of all. Realize that. Desist from all other talk. Stop all other things. Tamevaikam janata atmanam. Know him alone. Anyavacho vimunchata. Give up all other vain talk. This is man's bridge to the shore of immortality. Swamiji has something to say on this. I got it in this book, Mundaka Upanishad. Study of the Mundaka Upanishad. I'll read to you a small passage in that. Give up all vain talk. His translation is, in whom are the heavens, this earth and the skies, in whom are the mind and all that lives, in him that one, in him alone, the Atman, exist all other worlds. What is the use of all other talk? Know him alone. This is the bridge over this life to reach universality. The only knowledge that is of any value is to know that all worldly knowledge and activity is humbug. But few, very few will ever know this. Quote, know the Atman alone and give up all other vain words. This is the only knowledge we gain from all the knocking about in the universe. This is the only work to call upon everyone to awake, arise, and stop not till the goal is reached. Give up all ideas of enjoyment in this world and the next. Care only for God and truth. We are here to know truth, not for enjoyment. Leave that to brutes who enjoy as we never can. In other places, who can enjoy food as a pig does? Leave that to brutes. Brutes who enjoy as we never can. We are thinking beings and must struggle on until we conquer death, until we see the light. Do not spend yourself in vain talking that bears no fruit. Worship of society and popular opinion is idolatry. The Atman has no sex, no country, no place, no time. Think constantly of your real nature. Get rid of superstition. Do not hypnotize yourself into a belief in your own inferiority. Day and night tell yourself what you really are until you actually realize your oneness with God. What an immense pleasure people take in the objects of the senses. They go anywhere, run through any danger to get the thing which they love, the thing which their senses like. What is wanted of a devotee is this very kind of intense love, which has, however, to be directed to God. When men are really and intensely in love with women, or women with men, they feel a kind of natural annoyance in the presence of all those whom they do not love. Exactly the same state of impatience in regard to things that are not loved comes to the mind when higher devotion, parabhakti, holds sway over it. Even to talk about things other than God becomes distasteful to them. Think of him. Think of him alone and give up all other vain words. Those who talk of him alone, the devotee, finds to be friendly, while those who talk of anything else appear to a devotee to be unfriendly. That is his comment. Anya vacho vimunchata. He is all-wise, the target. He is all-wise and all-knowing, and his is verily this glory, that is the manifest on earth. In the sky of the heart, the luminous city of Brahman, he is established, clothed in mind and guiding life and body. He is the inner guide. With his seat in the heart, he lives in the whole body of man. By perfect knowledge of him, the wise realize the state of blissful immortality. What happens if you realize blissful immortality? Anandarupam amrutam yadvibhati tadvijnanena paripashyanti dhiraha paripashyanti. They see it, realize it. It is not a thought, it's an experience. They realize it. It is true. The truth is realized because they are becoming one with it. Tadvijnanena paripashyanti. He lives in the, by perfect knowledge of him, the wise realize the state of blissful immortality. Anandarupam amrutam. Amruta is immortality, and it also means nectar. Ambrosia, nectar, it's all sweetness. Anandarupam, it is the of the nature of bliss. Bhidyate hridaya grantish chidyante sarvasamshayaha kshiyante chasya karmani tasmin drishte paravare. What happens when that experience comes? When a person realizes him in both the high and the low, the knots of his heart are loosened, his doubts dispelled, and his karmas exhausted. What is the use of this? Use of this realization. These are the things that happen. Can we prove it? Yes, prove it to yourself. Why do you ask me? That is the answer of Vedanta. Find out for yourself. Just see. Oh, this is very nice music. Just see. Play. Play and find out how it is. What do you ask me? So the personal experience, the direct experience, they are fond of using these words. Direct, and then what is the other word? Direct and immediate. That means without any medium, it is your own. Oh, he said this, that said this, book said this. Not even your mind said this. It's your own, it's more than that. It is your own experience. Direct experience. Directly, without any medium, it will happen. And person realizes him everywhere with both high and low. Tasmin drishte para avare bhidyate hridaya grantihi, knots of the heart. There are so many knots inside. Psychological knots, emotional knots inside. Lumps. It's a lump about cancer, we talk about lumps. So like that, this in the heart, psychologically, there are so many, all the desires, complexes, this complex, that complex, so many of these things are there in the mind. They will all those knots will be cut asunder. More than everything else, in terms of attachments, so many attachments are there, they are knots. They will be cut asunder. They will all go, and the knowledge comes. And then chidyante sarva samshaya, all the doubts will go. You won't ask any question. Everything will be solved. You are free from doubt. Because the doubt is a very treacherous thing. It's a drag. And it'll pull you back. Oh, it may not be. After you do all this, if it is a waste. I give my so much of time to meditation, prayer and all that. Afterwards, if it is all false, let us say, then nothing like Atman, nothing like God, what will happen? Such basic doubts come sometimes and tear us to pieces. All our faith is shattered. Such things happen, here that thing will not happen. All such things will go. Because you are face to face with that. You can't doubt it. I may be doubting about this light, but I switch on and the light comes. Where is the doubt? I see it. Then the doubt comes, you may say, oh, am I seeing rightly or wrongly? No, all such doubts will go. Sarva samshayaha, chidyante sarva samshayaha. And then, kshiyante chasya karmani. Especially in Vedanta, we are obsessed with this idea of karma. This karma, that karma. Karma is there, sanchita karma, agami karma. And then, oh, that is all right. Prarabdha karma, we can do anything about. Prarabdha karma, that means the karma which has already started bearing fruit in this life. But in Vivekachudamani, it's wonderfully mentioned. Is there any karma even after realization? And the discussion goes on. And then someone raises this traditionally to explain the life of a man of realization. How is he still active and how is he still living? They pass it on prarabdha karma. But if you make too much of it, then he says, this question arises to fools like you only, not to a man of realization. For him there is no karma at all. There is no karma. He is completely free. No karma. Karma is all kshiyante chasya karmani. All the doubts, all the karma exhausted, completely gone. You are free, you are free. That is a negative side of it. Positive side already has told, ananda, rupa, amrita. It is all ananda. It is all amrita, it's all sweet, it is all freedom, and it is all love, ananda, it is that. That is the positive side. The other side, you are free, all the bondage has gone, doubts have gone, all these knots of the heart, they are gone. So that is what happens in this realization. And he goes further about this target. Hiranmaye pare koshe. In the luminous sheath of intelligence, the deepest core of man dwells Brahman, stainless, indivisible, pure. He is the light of all that shines. That is what the knowers of the self realize. That is what we are going to realize. The light, he is the light of all that shines. The light of lights. What is the word? Jyotisham Jyotihi, light of lights. It is all that Jyoti, you will see. Because this is light, electricity, this light is there. There the sun, that light is there. Like that many other types of lights may be there. But this is the light of light. The very source of all these lights. The very source of everything. That is how the topic was that. This higher knowledge is the very essence the very essence of everything. That is the word used, is the self. Self or the essence. What other word is there, can we use? Core.
Hidden cause.
Anyway, the very source of everything. Putting all together, it's the very self of everything. Myself, itself, the very essence of that. And Upanishad calls it the truth of truth. There are so many truths going, this is true, this is true, this is true. This is the truth of truth. Truth of truth, light of lights. It is the origin, the very elemental. Further, there is nothing else. It is that. It is the truth of truth. So how do we meditate upon this target? In this, it is the truth of truth. All others are temporary. This is permanent. This is a permanent entity, permanent being amongst all these impermanent things. That alone is permanent. Everything else is impermanent. That is the very substance. These are all the waves in the ocean. These are all, the other things are all waves. It is the very substance, the very water substance is this. So like that we can use our imagination, creative imagination, poetic imagination, all aesthetic sense we can use. And we can develop that. Meditation is developed like that, using all our artistic sense. When we actually hit it, none of this is necessary, we already got it. Before that only we are talking about our efforts at hitting the mark. So these are all the helps given by our knowers of Brahman. They have realized like that, this, what he says here, this is what the knowers of the self realize. It is like, Sri Ramakrishna went into samadhi. What is he experiencing? This is what the knowers of the self realize. This is what they realize. Swamiji is a knower of Brahman. What has he realized? What has he realized? This is what he has realized. Making clear-cut statements about it. This is what they have realized. He is the light of all light. This is what the knowers of the self realize. And this famous verse, Swamiji was fond of this next one. Na tatra suryo bhati, na chandra tarakam, nema vidyuto bhanti kutoyam agnihi, tameva bhantam manubhati sarvam, tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhati. Swamiji says this is wonderful poetry. Where will you find in the world literature a verse like this? He grows eloquent when he quotes this. There the sun does not shine, nor the moon nor the stars. These lightnings too do not shine, much less this earthly fire. Verily, everything shines reflecting his glory. This whole world is illumined with his light. It is the light of lights. That is illumining whole world. Illumination in a general sense, activating, illuminating, life of life. Is all this, Kena Upanishad says, is a life of life, mind of mind, ear of the ear, eye of the eye, the very source, the very self of everything. It is that. Everything exists because of this. He shining, everything then shines. That being there, everything works. Like electricity being there, all these things work. Our clock and our light and then Our television and our computer all work like that. How about battery? Battery light also behind that, the self of the battery is this. Brahmai vedam purastat brahma paschat brahma dakshinatashchottarena adashchordhancha prasritam brahmai vedam vishwamidam varishtam. Verily, all this is the immortal Brahman. First you target like that. When you hit that, you are hitting something very big. Don't think you are hitting a point. You are hitting Brahman, who is everywhere, who is the self of all, who is all pervading, who is infinite. You are fitting that. You are hitting that. Sri Ramakrishna gives this very fine example. If you go and then touch the ocean, putting it in our context, it go and go to the beach of San Francisco beach and touch it, you have touched the whole Pacific Ocean. Like that point, you are focusing on a point in your heart, that is your target. If you touch that, if you really hit it and become one with it, you have become one with the whole thing. Not, I will touch here, I will touch here, I will touch here, is not there. It is, Brahman is all love. If you touch that really, you will become all loving. You will become all loving. I have heard one interpretation of Swamiji's, you know. Now, Swami Vivekananda said, sisters and brothers of America. That's from one of our senior Swamis, this one. And there is a tremendous response. Standing ovation, they just clap, clap, clap. Unknown monk, and he's using age-old words. Who has not heard the words sisters and brothers? Why was that response? He posed that question and answered himself, the Swami. It is this. Before he started, he touched that. He touched that by his prayer or whatever. With that, he spoke like that. So, he touched the heart of everyone. That is the secret of all our great mystics and incarnations and all of them. They we speak, they are all loving. All loving, everyone. Did they practice, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Or, you are Brahman, you are Brahman, you are Brahman. Did they do like that? That is not the way at all. The way is, touch that in your heart. That point, anoraniyan mahato mahiyan. That's why it said Brahman, it is smaller than the atom, smaller than the smallest and bigger than the biggest. It is very small, doesn't matter. A point, concentrate. In the Katha Upanishad it says, you meditate, he is like a thumb. Meditate on a thumb. Is Brahman just the size of the thumb? No. It said even a point is enough. Even a point. You focus on that point. And then if you really become one with it, then you have touched the whole ocean, the infinite you have touched. So that is what he's telling. All this is immortal Brahman. He is everywhere. Above, below, in front, at the back, upon the right, upon the left. All this world is indeed the Supreme Brahman. All this is, you will find that. You started with a point, ended like this, you know. That point is the meditation, especially in Jnana Yoga meditation, it is that sense of I. Why do you go here and there? I. Meditate on the true I. I am Brahman. This Mahavakya is there. I am Brahman. I am Atma Brahma. Tattvamasi. Thou art that. it is that, just one point. My Atman is a point. And proceed further, point. Another thing, I'm reminded of something. Once Swamiji started meditating on a point. And then meditating on that, he started having spiritual experiences. That point is enough. So any image is enough, good enough. That is why in Vedanta tradition is there meditation on this, and a tree, is a holy tree, holy basil, sacred basil. Banyan is a holy tree. Cow is a holy cow. Why not a dog? Oh yes, dog is also all right. Dog, God, all right. But the other way. But what is wanted is that kind of, this he has to see all these things in this. That is why it is there. Not dog as dog. Ordinarily you see the outside of it, the surface, the periphery of all these things. That's why we get stuck. How nice is the dog, pet dog, this and that. We are lost in that. But there are incidents, you know, the saints, in one saint was sitting there, a dog comes, and then he was preparing chapatis, and it takes away one chapati, the dog. And he goes, he runs behind the saint with some butter. You are taking dry chapati, you take this butter. God. It's a seeing God in everything there, you know. This is what they are seeing, the self. This is what they are seeing in the dog. It is not that he is crazy, he is going like that. It is not that. He is seeing that. Like that, if you see, anything is worshipable. Worshipful, worship everything is holy. That is the state of the. This is what the knowers of the self realize. They realize that. That is why they love everyone. Coming, let the dog be their life for a while. If human beings, if you consider, that is enough. So. That point is like this, ends up like this. All this is immortal Brahman. All this world is indeed the Supreme Brahman. Brahmai Vedam Vishwamidam Varishtam. This is Vedanta, culmination of all knowledge. Culmination of all knowledge. What more do you want? There's nothing more to it. Nothing more to it. You will swim in this. More means it is like ocean. You are swimming in the ocean. First you touch the ocean, afterwards you go on swimming. Water, 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 water everywhere. That's it. That is the end. Really there is no end. Where is the end in swimming? That way there is no end. Sometimes it is said that is the goal of life and all that. Goal is this. You go on. Dot, dot, dot. There is no end there. So spiritual experience, really there is no limit to that. End to that. More is there. More is there. More is there. Like Sri Ramakrishna's language, he gives two examples. You know, one is that an ant goes to the hill of sugar. It takes one crystal, the stomach is full. It puts another crystal in its mouth, says, next time I will take the whole hill. It is, God experience is like that. So Sri Ramakrishna says again and again, other mystics also say, never limit God's experience. Never limit God's powers. There is more to it, more to it, more to it. You get lost. Or the salt doll goes to measure the depth of the ocean. It goes, and then it goes, yes, 2 feet, 3 feet, 5 feet, then it gets dissolved. Then who is to tell the depth of the ocean? So that is the, if you call it an end, it is not for the ocean is the end, it is for the individual that is the end. I end up in this, that's all. So, let us end it. That is all. I have a suggestion. I like this chapter. So if at least some of you can, if all of you I suggest, write a summary of it and keep it for yourself. I'm not going to see that. Don't worry. Write it, a summary of this. It's a very good summary for meditation and spiritual life, all that. A fine... fine example of this dynamism of spiritual life, that archery, bow and arrow example, and then how he ends, you know, the whole scheme is there. All right, let me stop here. You ask questions. Pardon?
There is a third chapter.
Oh, third is there. If you all want to stay on, we'll do that. Anyway, probably next time.
Swami, there's a verse in this chapter that I think we skipped. It's about the, it says, where all the arteries meet like the spokes of a chariot wheel.
Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about that?
You see, these arteries and meet the heart, that's an example given in other place also out there. Heart is the center of all these things, you know. Physiologically, our doctors, if we, the doctor here. Yes. All. Is it... Are all arteries connected with the heart?
The major ones.
Major ones, say, up to that extent. Like that, everything, Brahman is the center of everything. All other, everything, everyone meets there, you know. To my modern example I can give is at the airport. Especially when we return from other countries, foreign countries, when they come, everyone has to pass through the customs. The whole thing is designed that way, you can't go anywhere else. Everyone has to meet there. So like that, the arteries all meet. The heart is the center of everything. In that sense it is used. That is why your meditation and all meditation, meditate in the heart. We are talking about. That is the seat of Brahman. Then you may ask, is he not everywhere? That is true. Everywhere he is present. But here, where to begin? Where to hit the mark? Here, here, the mark. Here.
In the context of what you mentioned, you said we have to be very clear and not vague about where we are going. So in that context, for a beginning spiritual seeker who is still in the realm of Ishta or meditating on a personal God,
yes,
but hasn't yet fully become, hasn't fully understood the concept of Brahman and all that, should one first delve into that and, or how does that work, Swami?
Simultaneously. As we are thinking of personal God or an incarnation, say, incarnation, personal, yes, let us focus on that. At the same time, let us try to understand what does it mean? Who is he? Who is he? Some thought about that. That is why, you know, when you say in Vedanta type of meditation, meditate in your heart. You may be meditating on Ramakrishna or Krishna or Rama or Jesus, Buddha. You may be doing all right, perfectly all right. You think of him in your heart. Then you dive deep into it more and more, more and more. Who is he? So when you say Jesus, oh, he was in the Middle East and all the historical Jesus. All right, perfectly all right. He did this, he did that. That's fine. That's called Lila Smarana. That's a kind of meditation. Fine, go ahead. Then afterwards, then comes Jesus. Not like any other devotee of God. There is something special about him. There is something special. These incarnations have something special. So the usual thing is love. Love. He is a very loving person. He is there to help us. He is a friend. Like that you go. Then afterwards there is the, he is immortal. That is why in Christianity that resurrection is very important. He is more than an ordinary person. He has no death. He has no death. I don't know how the Christian theologians interpret, you know, from our point of view, say there is no death for him. He was shining. He was shining. So like that, go more and more, more and more about it. As you are devoting yourself, go more and more about it. In Sri Krishna's life, there is one incident, you know. Krishna was a lovable, mischievous, beautiful boy, a village boy, freely moving about, singing and dancing and doing this, doing that, moving freely with people, very good-hearted, helper, all that. So these gopis and gopas, they were all very fond of him. They become slowly, slowly attached to him. Oh, my Krishna, my Rama, my Krishna, you eat this, you eat that, like that. They're feeding him and then playing with him, dancing with him, both boys and girls, so younger and younger people, older people, all of them. He became the attract. Krishna means one who attracts. Very attractive boy. And he satisfied their interest and all that is going on. Suddenly one gopi says, see, we thought you were the son of Yashoda, son of her mother. Now we see he's not just that, he's more than that. What is this? Sakala Dehinam Antaratmadruk. He is the indwelling spirit in all. He is in everyone. He is in the heart of everyone. It is the same Krishna, same dancing, same eating, all was going on. But their view of him, vision of him, understanding of him increased. That happens to all devotees. They should go on like that. Otherwise, if we get stuck, then all the problems come. My Krishna, my Jesus, my this, cults and this, all this will start. That means if we remain at the gross level. So, from a very, very personal level, we slowly slide into impersonal level. Even, you know, love. First it is very, very personal. If you go deeper and deeper, it is not that personal. It becomes more and more the so-called abstract, subtle. it becomes more and more subtle. So like, that is why yesterday we were discussing personal, impersonal with a hyphen. So personal becomes slowly impersonal. For me, one beautiful example is our Khandana Bhavabandhana. I have told you many times. Very personal in the beginning. Sri Ramakrishna, Swamiji is a guru, a teacher, that's all. There are three hymns on Sri Ramakrishna. One is by Swamiji. Khandana is one. Om Hrim Ritam is one. Another is that Shakti Samudra Samutta Tarangam, that is an Yami Gurum Sharanam Bhavo Vaidyam. Starting as just as a guru, that's all. A spiritual teacher. Then, is he just a teacher? There are so many teachers. That happened to Jesus also like that, you know. One thought he's a good man, gentle, nice man, helpful, sympathetic person. No. The water I give and bread I give, it is always there, will be with you. Like that, slowly he releases those things. That is what called he reveals himself. Then finally, I and my father are one. Some few understood him. Some others, that was enough. He performed miracles, he cured my disease. Oh, that's also all right. That's all right. So, in our practice, slowly we slide into that. That's why all should be included. The Upanishads are very helpful in that. That is the, who is he? When you say an incarnation, who is he? Without any hesitation, dissect all those things, analyze all that. In Vedanta, it's highly encouraged. They won't say, hey, don't do that, like that. Blasphemous, or if you ask more questions about Krishna or Rama, or who is that? No, it is not like that. You are actually understanding more of them. First you thought they are a small circle. No, they are much bigger. Much bigger than what we ordinarily think. Not that we are wrong, but there is more to it, up to this. That's why that song is there, Tumi Brahma Ramakrishna, you are Brahman. Nirakara, you have no form, formless. Impersonal.
Swami?
And so, I'm coming, just a moment, I'll finish. Swamiji makes a comment when he talks about Jesus, Christ the Messenger or somewhere. This is true of yourself, an incarnation of God. Same thing is true of every one of us. We have a very, very personal aspect. If we go more and more and more and more, there is an impersonal side will come. That's why we say self-realization. His is a very big way, spectacular way it is, life is lived. Spectacular way. His powers and his love, all that in a very big, his power is huge, tremendous. But the same thing is there in us also. He is the clay elephant, the clay mouse. But mouse also can become a good mouse. And then realize that it is clay. That is big and this is small. Someone has.
No,
come on.
The question is, there's so
in the mind to think about Ramakrishna or Mother or the Ishta. The meditation starts me in, I don't know how to start a meditation in my heart. I only know how to start it in my head. And it seems that the object, you may have answered it about the clay, the object of the meditation being so effulgent or illumined, is that what eventually fills the heart? Is because it's the nature of what we're mentally thinking about?
Please repeat.
I don't know how to start a meditation in my heart. I start in my head.
All right.
I'm not clear how one would start.
Anyway, start from wherever you can. Because ultimately, he's everywhere. This is only for convenience sake. When you say heart, there is the meditating between the eyebrows, that also is there. But the yogis and the meditators have found this is easier. That is the explanation I have read. It is easier. People start like that, afterward they find it difficult. Not only that, some side effects will be there. They try to concentrate, then the usual thing is they hear sounds in the ear and then buzzing sound and all such things develop. So the heart, especially the heart is the seat of emotions, seat of love. So it is said in the heart, seat of feelings there. I love it, said I hold here, you know. I love, a child is there, you hug the child, oh, my child, like that you do. So that is the usual habits of the mind. Mind does that, use it for this too. This too you use that. That usual natural way of the mind, habits of the mind, use that here too. Give your heart, say someone is working and then work is not done properly. Oh, he has no heart in the work. He has no heart in the work. That's why it's not moving. Or I wanted to tell that person something, but when I saw that person, I had no heart to tell that person. Because he is already suffering. How can I tell that? So we use the mind in that sense, you know, heart, feeling, and then that is where we contact. It's a contact person, agency. It is like heart, we use that. So the same thing is used for spiritual practice also. That is the idea. What other instrument do we have? Our mind and then our feelings and then our body and then our thinking. These are our instruments to do. And there are general habits of the mind. We use those things. Instead of using there, we use here. My God, my love. Swamiji is in a beautiful letter. He says, my God, my love, stick to God, stick to God. To whom did he write that letter?
To the Hell Sisters.
Hell Sisters, a beautiful lecture. As a letter. My God, my love. When I say my, where do you hope? They say my, do you say? No. Mine here. So that, Sri Ramakrishna greatly emphasizes that God is your own, my own. Where do you feel that my ownness? It is here, my own in the heart. So God is my own.
So it's that sense, it's like if you see an outline of somebody.
Mother and I, it greatly appeals to me. He says, mother and I. That relationship is here in the heart. saw in the scripture, in the Upanishads, and then the Puranas, and then our teachings of the great ones, everywhere they mention heart. In our hymn, you know, Hridaya Kamala Madhye Rajitam, one who is shining in the heart. We repeat that in our worships, is in our heart.
Which hymn is that, Swami?
Pardon?
Which hymn is that?
That is, during our worship we use that.
Which hymn?
Hridaya Kamala Madhye Rajitam. That is the hymn on Sri Ramakrishna.
Yes, what's the name?
Hridaya Kamala Madhye.
Okay.
That is written by Swami Abhedananda. Composed by Swami Abhedananda. And mother also, there is one. What is that mother? Dhyaye Dhudambuje, Dhyaye Dhudambuje. That was composed by one of our other senior Swamis, Gunatitananda. Dhyaye Dhudambuje. So many times I have repeated, it's not coming. Dhyaye Dhudambuje. Devim Tarunaruna Vigraham, Varabhayakaram, Shantam, Smitotpullam, Kambujam. Thalapadna Patikasha Padam Bhoja Sushobhanam Shuklam Bharadharam.
What does that mean, Swami?
We have that song, see that. Let us meditate on the on Holy Mother, if there is that song.
It's in the prayer book.
Which prayer book?
It's the universal.
No, it's not there. It's not there.
Maharaj, so the japa that you do, is it like strengthening the bow, the stretching the bow, and then it's going to lead to meditation? And
yes, preparation for that. Yes.
Swami, can light and Om be called personal God?
You can see in Vedanta philosophy, Vedanta literature, personal has a different meaning. Personal doesn't mean a human personality. It is not that. Saguna Brahma, Brahman with attributes. When you say light, it has already become personal. Or the indwelling spirit. Indwelling spirit, if you say, it is personal. It is Saguna Brahma. Any attribute is Saguna Brahma only, is the personal God according to Vedanta. So what is impersonal if you ask? Attributeless. No attribute. Can there be, can we talk about that? That is attributeless Brahman, we can't talk about it. It comes to that. But those who say they are meditating on impersonal, they don't accept that, that's all. But any kind of attribute is already personal God. But some concession is when you say Satchidananda, though you have said something, a name has given, it's a very, very generalized name. That call it impersonal. Sat or light, call it impersonal. Because there is no definite form and all that you have not given to that. Not a very definite, even attribute also is not there. See, it is not that detailed attributes and it is not there. A very, very general attribute is there. Light means it shines. That's all. That is all right, accepted as an impersonal God. Concession. Otherwise, when you say impersonal, you can't say anything, you can't talk about it. It's that kind of, we can't use that as in our meditation or in our talk, in our thought, or in our philosophy, we can't use it. That is only an experience, that's all. So, it is a pointer given to that. It is impersonal. Go ahead. It is not that personal with all the qualities of, say, he listens to my prayer, or he blesses me, his grace. All this we say personal God. When there is some action done, and then when the clear cut, many attributes are there. But it is very, very general, all right, accept it.
So when you go from personal to impersonal, so in truth, it is like you actually, when you think of impersonal, you actually merge with or realize.
That's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. That is real impersonal. Then next step also, a concession. This also call it impersonal. Light, Satchidananda, Sat. It is truth. Or Ananda. It is just abstract Ananda, abstract love. All right, take it as impersonal. Oh, when you are doing work.
Right, performing all tasks in complete absorption.
You see, when we use the word meditation, it is always sitting and then going deep inside, closing our eyes and then trying to become one with it. That is called Raja Yoga, Dhyana Yoga. But the other one, what you say, I understand that. Brahma karma samadhina, this see Brahman in the work and become absorbed in that. That is called karma yoga. Don't call it meditation there. That is why it's a very nice question. That is why, what is your aim in life, spiritual life? It's not meditation. It is becoming one with it is the... Self-realization is the goal. That can be done through karma yoga. What we are talking is yoga of meditation. Yoga of karma also you can do. Yoga of love is there. Yoga of discrimination is there. We can all these yogas can be used to have that experience. This is one of them. But what happens popularly, the meditation they use loosely everywhere. No, it is not that. That common one is self-realization. Yes, that is the goal of all these different paths. But meditation is a great help in this, in our realization. Along with your karma yoga, you are working. Say, you want to become absorbed in work. Work as Brahman, that is excellent. But if you do meditation, that will help you in that. And that kind of work, absorption, help you in your meditation. So each helping the other. And along with that love of God, you love God. Why are you working? It's all for the Lord I am working. I love my God. My God, my love. I do. That's why I'm doing it. So you develop that too. Along with that, say, God alone, Brahman alone is true, truth of truth. All other things are passing. That is Jnana Yoga Vichara, that's analysis. Always trying to emphasize what is permanent amongst all these impermanent things. So that is Jnana Yoga. So putting all together, each helping the other, that is our total scheme of spiritual life. This is one such. Meditation is one such. But some people, for some people, this is the predominant one. Meditation only. But Swami Vivekananda recommends all the four put together. One helping the other. Every one of them leading to that self-realization. That is the goal. That absorption in God consciousness, becoming one with it, that is the goal. That's our true nature. All these are different yogas, methods. That is, yes, exactly. That is our, when we chant, you know, Brahma Arpanam, Brahma Havihi, Brahma Agno, Brahmana Hutam, Brahma Ivatena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina. One who is completely absorbed in work that is Brahman, he reaches Brahman only. Brahma Ivatena Gantavyam. That idea is practiced there. How do you do that work? That is a Krishna, whole of Gita talks about that, you know. Complete detachment. And then why are you doing the work? It's all for self-realization. Whatever I do, it is dedicated to God only. That's why Krishna says, don't expect results, fruit of action. I did this, I want some appreciation. I did that, I want some remuneration. It is not that. You are doing it for self-realization. Whatever work you are doing, it is for that. Or, if I want to make it personal, it is for dedicating it to God. It is for Him. Whether you work in the kitchen, whether in the hospital, whether you work in the monastery or the convent or anywhere, anyone, if you did this work is for God, I am doing it. Not for pleasing anyone or getting any other benefit. The others, by the way, they may come, that's all. At the end of the month, I need money, money comes. That's all right. But my goal is not that. My aim is not that. Aim is to please God or that self-realization is the goal. I want that. That's why I'm doing. Absorption in that.
I'll work on it in my summary.
All right. I understand this very, what you said. But when you go to office, I guess this question has been asked many times, and you go and aren't for living, it's difficult to sometimes think that, okay, I'm doing this for God. So can you explain how to
Because the idea is this, you know, the whole universe, activity, all that, it's a big machine. God is playing that machine. Whether you are working in a computer firm or in a hospital or in a government office or anywhere, it's all a big machine. God is working. He is the Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hruddeshe Arjuna Tishtati. What is that? Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantrarudhani Mane Maya. He is their operator. He is the operator. It's a big machine. He is operating the machine. Wherever you are. So you have to bring a big view of things. And you are there somewhere in that big machine. He is operating. You are there somewhere. A small screw. But you're a part of it. One screw is not there. What will happen? You know, many of these things, big machines give trouble. And then where is the trouble? You say one screw is gone, has dropped. That is enough to create problem. So equally, the screw is also equally important. Everyone is important in this big game. So you are there. That is why it said before you, Brahmananji recommends, you know, before you start a work, think of him, and then in the middle of him, middle of the work, offer salutations to him, and then afterwards offer everything to him. Like that, let God consciousness come everywhere. Brahmarpanam Brahmahavihi. Every instrument is Brahman there. Your computer is Brahman, and then working is Brahman. Colleagues are Brahman. So that's developing that ideal more and more, more and more. True, human factors come and then disturb that. Everyone I can think of Brahman. How can I think of my boss as Brahman? That may be all right, this is not. No, he also should be thought, no, my boss you don't know. These are the human side. Human side comes. Human side. That's how whole life becomes a big scheme, and then art and science. Whole life is our spiritual life, means whole life. Every bit of life is spiritual. How to make that, you know? How to make every bit of our, every moment of our life spiritual? Constant effort in that. Constant effort, wherever we are.
Trying to connect to God, right? Like he asked, you've mastered it for a while, let's say, and you're having a really good day, and you're in such bliss that you can't concentrate on your work. What are you supposed to do?
We should be so lucky.
You made a comment, that's all. All right. Now let us go and have some refreshment. Do we have refreshment? Yes. And come back for... Oh, today is short meditation. Yes, 12 to 12:30. All right, we can steal some more time. So, as you all know, we all eat here. We all eat here. And then that is at 1 o'clock. Then after that, yes, after that we'll eat and clean up and go home. All right, let us go.